Welcome to F1 Debrief Episode 87, 2008 Sidepoddy Awards. Coming up this week, it's the annual Sidepoddy Awards, plus the Sidepod Tour continues.
Oh yes, the final Sidepodcast F1 Debrief of 2008.
Yes.
It's here. It's upon us.
Well, it's the final live one. Mm. We've got a couple of special bits and pieces coming up.
We are done and dusted.
Yep.
For the whole live business for this year.
Yep.
And we're playing a special drinking game today.
Yes, we are. Well, it's the Sidepod party, isn't it?
Yes.
The Christmas party.
And in order to celebrate, we've asked the people in the live comments to come up with a bunch of words that annoy them. Words that we say that frequently annoy them. And they've given us a list. And every time we say one of those words, we have to have a drink.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to the end of the show still standing?
Probably not.
No. Shall we get on with it as quickly as we can?
Yes. Good week, bad week. It's been a good week for Sidepodcast as Lou opted to buy a Sidepodcast mug over an official season review DVD.
Yay!
Go us! She was pondering whether to splash out on the DVD, but decided the mug was good for an F1 fan who was addicted to caffeine.
I think she made the right choice.
It's been a bad week for Dank, who cancelled his Autosport subscription and then had to concede that the bumper 2008 Christmas special review mag was actually quite good. I bought it. I didn't actually think it was that great. But
I it wasn't such a bad one as things go. I kind of agree with him for his reasons for cancelling his subscription, because really the problem I have with these magazines is I can't share stuff like you can online. If there's a cool bit in the Autosport magazine, which I really like to share with people on friend feed and on Sidepodcast, and I can't do it because print is just too real.
It's been a good week for RG as he had football today and got to miss the ITV Lewis love-in. Mr. Christine slept through it. I ignored it. A couple of people watched it and said it wasn't that bad, all things considered. But then RG came back and said he'd hurt his back.
Punishment.
May not have been that good a day week.
No, that was Steve Ryder punishing him for avoiding it. I don't know what punishment I'm going to be dished out now.
It's been a bad week for Scott Woodworth, who's moving house this weekend. I saw on Facebook that he's all moved in and unpacking, but that doesn't seem like much fun this close to Christmas. And he's missing the Sidepod party.
Oh, he'll be gutted. Side
parties. Welcome to the second annual Sidepoddy Awards, where we reward those who made our year and laugh at those who didn't. Although, if they made us laugh, we appreciate them just as much. It's not just about the Formula One world. We'll also be looking at how we've fared this year in the world of podcasting. Let's get right on with the show then, and our first award is for Best Entrance. The nominees are Sebastian Bourdais for picking up 2 points on his first race. He was running in fourth place in Australia, but suffered an engine failure in the last few laps that left him seventh.
So this award's going to Bourdais then.
Lewis Hamilton for making a stunning acting debut as a PR stunt ahead of the Turkish race. He was lowered into a local performance of Troy wearing full race getup.
I think that went across really well.
Yeah, I don't think he regretted that at all. Robert Kubica for picking up the Lorenzo Bandini trophy by driving his F1 car on the actual road for 11 kilometres.
How cool was that?
And Vijay Mallya for the side entrance to the Force India factory after Eddie Jordan blocked up the main entrance with concrete blocks. There was a payment dispute between the pair and Eddie took drastic and, can I say, quite hilarious action. And the winner is Vijay Mallya. Unfortunately, he can't be here to accept his award due to the fact that we don't have any yacht moorings at Sidepodcast Towers.
Always a problem. Yeah. Always a problem.
Our next award is for Mistake of the Year, featuring those who have learned an important lesson from their actions in 2008. The nominees are Honda, who turned up in the early season with bright green pants. They soon realised looking elfish wasn't conducive to a good working environment and rebranded to a slightly darker green colour.
Much more subtle.
Max Mosley, who made the mistake of being filmed earlier this year. That's enough of that. Who was super excited to add the functionality of chatting to our listeners, but couldn't always remember to plug the cables in.
We have a clip of that.
Yeah, we'll
actually
play that momentarily.
Okay.
And the final nominee is Bernie for deciding to host a glamorous Formula One event in a dockyard. Valencia wasn't pretty.
It was ugly. Shall I play this clip? I've got it queued up.
I can't exactly hear you.
Can't hear me. I wonder if we've done something wrong. Exactly, oh, I know why. Oh, no, hold on. Whoa. We've had the worst. Hang him up a second. Hold on. Yeah, okay. This is really, really, really embarrassing. Journey, I have such a huge apology to make, but we haven't got the lead plugged in because Christine did F1 Minute and it's all unplugged and Christine's eyes just popped out of her head as she realised. Right. Okay, is your phantom power off? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my goodness. Journey, it's all our fault. Oh, I feel so stupid. Oh, what a melon.
What a melon.
And apparently, I've just been informed I have to have a drink.
Did you say Max?
I said Max, which was one of my words.
I thought I said Max.
Oh, did you? Oh, I got away with that one.
And the winner is Max Mosley.
Max was apparently able to pick up this award. He was around here earlier, but I don't know, he seems to have gone missing somewhere, but I did find these hanging around. I think he might have left them just as a token gesture.
Nice. Mm. You said Max that time.
Oh, man. Okay, drink. That's strong.
That's a nice sound.
Gotta have a refill.
The third Side Poddy Award is for Marketing Campaign of the Year. We've seen a lot of people trying to use Formula One to spread the word this year, and here is our shortlist. The first nominee is Racing Against Racism, which was a brilliant title decided on after an off-season test at Barcelona saw a couple of people insult Lewis Hamilton. By the time the campaign came to pass, they renamed it Every Race, and it had lost all momentum.
Yeah, they didn't really get many big names signed up to it, did they? There's a whole load of unknowns on there going,
and
yay.
The website upset you a little bit as well.
Didn't have the wrong title and the wrong domain. It all just, the wheels fell off.
Yeah. The second nominee is Earth Dreams. Honda didn't learn the lesson from 2007. Instead of shelving the My Earth Dream idea, they increased the concept to encompass everything in the whole world, and they rebranded it Earth Dreams. The results speak for themselves. The third nominee is The Dark Knight with Toyota. Desperate to compete with Red Bull's movie tie-ins, Toyota teamed up with the new Batman film, complete with rear end plate branding and sew-on patches for their overalls.
Wouldn't know it.
Well, it was a bit cute, but sort of a half-assed effort. And the final nominee is Make Cars Green, the FIA's attempt at bringing awareness of environmental issues to the motorsport masses by painting the grooves on Bridgestone's tyres green. Confusion ensued when it was impossible to tell the soft from the hards, and we hated it.
And it was impossible to tell the wheels from soft mints. They look very edible.
And the winner is Earth Dreams.
Because?
Basically because it ruined Honda's life.
It did. Yes.
We invited Nick Fry to come and pick up the award, but he didn't want to lose his place in the dog queue.
Ouch.
This award is for the Animal of the Year, not a normal category for motorsport awards, you might say. But this year, we've seen a lot of different wildlife cross our paths. Here are just four of them. The first nominee is the dogs in Turkey. The organisers admitted a serious lapse in security when two animals got onto the track during a support race.
At Bernie's own Grand Prix. Mm. How embarrassing.
Was quite embarrassing. The second nominee is marmots. They didn't cause any trouble in Canada this year, but they are freaking cute. Plus, it's their last year on the calendar, so we should celebrate them. The baby panda has become the official mascot of the Side Podcast after a raging debate in the comments over whether marmots or baby pandas were cuter. The panda won, and earlier in the year, Side Podcast actually sponsored one. And the final nominee is Nicole Scherzinger, who is a pussycat doll.
I like what you did there.
Lewis's girlfriend has been spotted numerous times in the paddock. Aren't we glad that F1 now crosses over into popular culture?
No.
And the winner is Nicole Scherzinger. For the first time this evening, we can actually hear from our winner. She couldn't be here, but she has sent us a message.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Nicole, here, and I am so excited. I feel like I'm on top of the world right now. Anyways, it's all about the love, and it's just good times, and good times call for thanks and gratitude and celebration. So we're so thankful, and love you.
It's all about the love.
Yeah. Our next award is the Juan Pablo Montoya Award for Worst Sporting Injury Outside of a Formula One Car. Snappy title. Most of our drivers have managed to steer clear of any serious incident, but some have been unlucky. Here are the nominees. Felipe Massa turned up in France and said he'd hurt his neck, sneezing in a lift.
Awesome.
I think that's enough said, really. Mm. The BMW mechanic, who is injured at the Jerez test in July.
Ouch.
The team were evaluating Kurs and the mechanic suffered an electric shock and was taken to hospital for overnight observation. He was fine, though. You were chasing down a rogue insect, a fly.
Oi!
And in swatting it, you managed to sustain a back injury.
Don't bring that up
again.
That
was very funny.
I got the fly?
Yes, you did. And poor Mark Webber carried his bad luck with him to Tasmania and was knocked off his bike during the Taz Challenge. He was left with a pretty serious broken leg, but he seems to be making good progress. And the winner is Mark Webber. Unfortunately, he can't be here to accept the award as we don't have a lift up to the studio. It's actually a shame that Massa didn't win because I heard he's a fan of stairs. This SidePoddy Award is for Strategy of the Year. It takes a lot of clever people to come up with the ideal strategy for each race weekend, and here we like to highlight the people behind the scenes. The first nominee is Ross Brawn for running Rubens Barrichello on extreme wets at Silverstone and netting him at third place.
Despite a refueling problem. Amazing strategy. Love it.
Willy Ramph for the BMW 1-2 win in Canada. They split their fuel strategy to mitigate a safety car during the latter stages of the race.
Guaranteeing a win.
Pat Simmons for the alleged strategy in Singapore that saw Piquet crash out, cause a safety car, and with perfect timing, allow Alonso to take the win.
Uncanny.
And Jordan Allen for great strategies week in, week out, all season long, that saw him win the SidePodcast Fantasy Races League. Whatever. I had good strategies too.
Your strategies were insane.
No, they were fine.
They weren't even categorised as a strategy.
Well, the winner is Pat Simmons for Renault. We invited him to accept the award, but he didn't want to come because he's got his own podcast to do. This next award is for the best accessory. It could be something big, like a yacht. It could be something small, like Ray-Bans. Lovely white Ray-Bans.
Tasty.
Here are the 2008 nominees. The first nominee is the McLaren hand shoes.
The what?
You know, the McLaren shoes that are worn on the hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The sports thingy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hamilton and Kovalainen did a photo shoot for McLaren Sportswear and demonstrated the shoes on their hands. Very practical, I think.
And Pedro.
But apparently the ladies like it.
Right. You just said Hamilton. That's a drink for you.
Oh, I said rubbish too.
That makes two drinks for you.
The second nominee is Dumbaflugel. The additional wing bits on the front of the Honda will be no longer in 2009, so I wanted to include them here as a tribute, and so I can say Dumbaflugel again.
Noted.
The Williams cog. As a gift for becoming a fan club member, you got a free cog.
I did.
Which has caused endless amusement during live shows.
It's a lovely cog.
Including this one, because it's one of your drink words.
Oh, hold on. Right.
The final nominee is Sutil's laptop. Back in May, Adrian found his past coming back to haunt him when a laptop that had been thrown away by his dad a couple of years previously was obtained and used against him by an unemployed man. The police intervened and arrested the man for attempted blackmail. And the winner is Sutil and his laptop. We invited him to pick up his award, but I'm not sure that he got the email. Just a couple of awards to go now, and this one is all down to the Red Bull Empire, and it's the award for Best Sebastian.
Oh, I do approve.
The nominees are Sebastian Bourdais for being French and lovely and crying at opportune moments.
So the award's his.
Sebastian Vettel for being the youngest F1 race winner of all time.
Don't see him winning this one.
Sebastian Loeb for just being awesome at everything.
Still not going to win this one, though.
Sebastian Buemi for leading the timesheets always during testing in every car ever.
No chance.
The winner is Sebastian Loeb.
Ooh! Loeb?
Fooled you. Sebastian Loeb couldn't be here today, but he did send on this message, and I apologise for my rubbish accent. Merci pour ce prix. Désolé, je ne peux pas être là, mais Christine a une obsession de la pure d'homme français.
And thank you to Google Translate for that.
Our penultimate award is for the David Coulthard Crash of the Year. I'm not actually sure what we're going to do next year, but we might have to do one in his honour.
Oh, absolutely.
The nominations are Australia, where he tangled with Felipe Massa and his car literally fell apart into a million pieces. The second nomination is for the second race of the year in Malaysia. During free practice one, DC clipped the curb and his car fell apart into a million pieces.
You can go through every single race.
Might be a long list. The third nomination is Monaco. Coulthard unfortunately ended his race in the wall, but moments later, he magnetically attracted Bourdais into the back of him.
He did.
And the last nomination is for Brazil. His last race, quite sadly, was over after just one corner. Decked out in the Wings for Life livery, DC's career was over in what we can only say is a fitting way. And the winner is Monaco. That's not the winner just because Bourdais was involved. I find it hilarious that he managed to crash into a wall, which is bad enough.
By himself.
And then suddenly, of all the places, another car smashes right into the back of him. I just find that hilarious.
It was a tractor beam. It called him in.
Yeah.
He missed every other car on the track.
Magnetic
and then a car hit him. Yes.
Anyway, Coulthard would be here to collect his award, but we couldn't afford the insurance. Right. there aren't any nominees for this award because the answer is obvious.
Okay.
The award is Return to Glory 2008.
Justly so.
It's been much too long for this particular driver. Having worked so hard with Renault in the past, to see them stuck in the midfield this year must be heartbreaking.
Mm.
Nevertheless, he turned a blind eye to the difficulties and continued to plug away at his job, keeping his mind focused on his own responsibilities.
What a hero.
And the work paid off, as this year he found himself on the top step of the podium once more, finally winning after so many frustrating finishes previously.
What a win.
And he didn't just settle for the one win, he managed to secure two unexpected and hard-fought victories.
My favourite was the second one.
This must be the ultimate return to glory for 2008. It's Alan McNish.
Who?
Alan McNish, obviously.
What do you mean, obviously? Why did that look? He's not even an F1 driver.
Well, you know, last year we had the best rookie.
Well, I don't care. Alan McNish?
Yeah.
How many times did he win?
He did well.
Did he win twice?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Alonso.
Aw.
So that wraps up our 2008 Side Poddy Awards.
Yep.
That was fun. Mm. It looks like watching the live comments that we may have misjudged popular opinion on a lot of those awards.
Seems like every award they were guessing someone else was going
to
win.
Yeah. I think next year we may need live voting.
Oh, really?
I think that's what we need to do.
Okay.
We need to send out the awards and then we need to see whoever's in the live comments, they need to say.
So like a proper awards show?
Like, yes, exactly like that. We might model it on the FIAs and have some kind of montage video at the end featuring Ayrton Senna.
Ah.
That'll be nice.
Yes. Housekeeping. You know, ages ago, you told us about the Williams fan club closing down.
Yep.
And they refunded your money.
Mm.
And you were upset that they didn't have a very good business plan.
I was trying to help them out by supporting the team and they were just interested in giving me that money back.
Yeah, and you got a free cog.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you didn't get a free cog because if you read the letter properly,
yeah.
What it said was they were refunding your money but deducting the cost of the welcome pack.
Right.
Which included the cog.
Well, it was a cheap cog. That's all I can say.
You said cog. I got you to say it.
Hold on. One more drink. Okay. It was a cheap thingy because they gave me an awful lot of money back then.
Yeah.
However, I still think it was value for money, my free membership, because they let us go to the factory this week.
Well, yeah. Also in the letter, it said, you know, as a goodwill gesture, come and see the factory. Now, we didn't get a tour of the factory.
No.
But we went to the conference centre. Mm. And the
which
first,
is next door. Yeah. Adjacent.
And the first thing we were ushered into a room.
Yeah.
And Frank Williams was in there.
Yes. An audience with Frank.
Yeah.
We arrived, rather embarrassingly, a little bit late.
Yes.
As is the norm with the Side Podcast. So we had to interrupt Frank's chat by barging in the door. We had to grab the only seat that was available and subtly hide in the corner. Hope he didn't spot us all frown.
Which I don't think he did.
I think we got away with it.
He was very, very nice.
He's a lovely man, yes. He had some awesome insights into what he thinks is going to happen next year. Obviously, the rule changes affect him as they do any other team. And he's obviously been giving them a lot of thought. And he imparted all sorts of information upon those gathered. And you made some notes.
I made a couple of notes. It was a bit like being a proper journalist.
Wow, you came prepared with a pencil and everything.
I know, it's crazy. He said that Toyota are struggling with their cars. Williams are ahead of where they thought they'd be, but nowhere near race ready. And BMW are the furthest ahead.
Yes.
They're the team that have got the most work done so far. But it's interesting that they don't think they're going to be race ready.
No.
At all.
No, not prepared at all.
He said that if any of the other teams were going to leave, as Honda did, they would have done it already and followed Honda out the door.
That would have been a good time to go.
He's not anticipating any more departures.
Good
which
stuff.
Is good news. He said the Cosworth engine is the one they used in 2006.
Yes. Oh, he confirmed that, didn't he?
He
yes.
did, yeah.
It was the Williams Cosworth.
And it's had no development since, so it's pretty useless because if you're trying to attract sponsors, would they rather hear that you're picking up a current Toyota engine? Obviously, everyone knows Toyota. Or would they rather hear you say, yeah, I'm getting this old 2-year-old Cosworth?
Yes.
They may not have heard of Cosworth.
He also pointed out something which I'd forgotten, which is after Williams finished with the Cosworth, the company disbanded the team that built the engine. So anybody who knows anything about how that engine was created are now elsewhere, mostly in America, working on other development projects and not able to come back. So if you pick up the engine, you basically pick it up blind because no one else is there to work on it.
And the last thing he said was regarding Donington Park. He said any shrewd businessman only believes these things when they see it, and he couldn't quite fathom the idea of them shutting East Midlands Airport,
no.
Which does seem a bit crazy.
He had some nice things to say about Tom Wheatcroft. He said he wouldn't agree to anything unless there was some basis behind it, which hadn't occurred to me.
And someone asked him, because he did a bit of a Q&A, someone asked him if he thought Silverstone could get it back. And Frank said, Silverstone don't believe they've actually lost it yet.
Interesting.
Then we got to have our picture taken with Frank.
Yes, you did.
By the car.
Yeah.
That was quite fun.
If you're watching the Enhanced podcast, we should put that on now.
Yep.
Because that's very cool.
Picture of me and Frank.
Yeah, he's very lovely. He had loads and loads of time for everybody, didn't he? I mean, considering what he's doing and how busy he must be. It's a run-up to Christmas. There must be plenty of things going on.
There were several Christmas parties going on in the building at the time, so I don't know if he visited them all.
No, but it was really nice that he could spend time with us.
Then we got a tour around the Grand Prix collection, which is basically all the cars from the late 70s when they started, right up until they split with BMW.
Yes.
I thought it was quite interesting that they didn't have any from the current Toyota deal. I don't know if there's a reason for that.
That's true.
If they just haven't set that section up yet.
No, and they didn't have, none of the cars have the Cosworth engines in them either.
No. Just the one on display.
At the bottom, in the entrance, but that doesn't look like it had the engine in it. So I'm not sure what happened there, whether they had to give them back or not.
The cars were grouped by engine manufacturer.
Yeah.
So a bit with Honda and a bit with Renault. And there were videos with each section with a lot of detail in. And I thought it was quite good because you got to see a lot of race footage, which you wouldn't normally because Bernie likes to shut that down.
Yeah, but Frank must have spoke nicely to Bernie.
It would cost a lot otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, they may have paid for it, but we weren't allowed to film in there because Bernie owns the rights to the footage and they didn't want it walking out the door. But it was an amazing collection. It's a fantastic collection of cars. I thought it was somewhere near the wind tunnel, but it wasn't. But there was trophies on display. They dismantled part of the car and you could see the inside of it, the inside of a helmet. Lots of the technical things like wiring looms were on display. Many, many trophies throughout the eras. It was a lovely place to look around.
I bought some stuff in the gift shop, just a key ring and a pen.
Yeah.
Because I'm last of the big spenders, you know.
We were trying to give him money. That's it, isn't it?
Then the thing is, the guy gave us double staff discount because he was like, it's Christmas, you know.
It's pointless, isn't it? It's pointless trying to give these guys money. You just should have just left the tenner on the side and hoped somebody picked it up.
Yeah. But then I went to the ladies and when I came back, you'd gone off with another woman.
I'm a quick worker.
Yeah.
Has to be said.
I was waiting in reception, waiting. I even went outside and looked to see if you'd gone to the car already. I was waiting. And then you come around the corner with Claire Williams.
I met the lovely Claire, who is quite sweet.
You love her.
She's sweet.
You love her. She is the daughter of a legend of Formula One and she does podcasting.
Yes.
She's right up your street.
She does the AT&T Williams podcast, which we like very much. She's a really nice person and I was talking to her for a certain amount of time. To the point you thought I'd gone home without you, in fact.
I did think that.
And you'd only popped to the loo. And that's what happens, you see.
I just popped out for a second and when I came back, he'd gone off.
Yes.
With Claire.
I was in conversation with the lady who was quite lovely. And does podcasts. Not live, though. That's the one failing, you see. At least you do live. What we're going to do, hopefully, is just to get everybody in the party atmosphere, is to take, ideally, 10... Skype callers on a conference call, and each one of us will do a line.
Ten.
Nine is the plan because we're all going to do number one. So you're going to do one, I'll do one. Everybody will do the last one together. So we need 9 callers on Skype. Do you think we can do it? And if we can't get 9, someone's got to do more than one line.
I don't think we can do it, no.
I reckon it's got to be worth a shot. It'll be hilarious. If it works, it'll be brilliant. Andy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Junior?
Yeah. Yeah, here.
Stephen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Alex is here. Gavin's here. Eleanor's here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's everyone. Okay, you ready, Gavin?
Yes. On the first day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me a last corner championship win. On the second day of Christmas, Bernie sent to me, 2 teams are leaving and a last corner championship win.
On the third day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me, 3 maiden winners.
2 teams are leaving
and a last corner championship win.
Hey, the delay's wicked.
On the fourth day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 4 Hydeville podiums.
3 maiden winners.
2 teams are leaving.
And a last championship win.
This is the best one I've ever had.
Watch out, take that.
Okay.
With purple cones and Dad's arm, it's just that beat off at the end.
On the fifth day of F1 Christmas,
Bernie said to me,
5 massive spins,
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving,
and a last corner championship win.
On the sixth day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 6 wet races,
5 massive spins,
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving,
and a last corner championship win.
It's funny every time.
Alex.
On the seventh day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 7 different winners.
Steven?
Sorry. 6 wet races.
5 massive spins.
4 Hydeville podiums.
3 maiden winners.
2 teams are leaving.
And a last corner championship win.
On the eighth day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 8 points positions,
7 different winners,
6 wet races,
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving,
and a last corner championship win.
The end of it's like win.
On the ninth day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 9 drums from Turkey,
8 points positions,
7 different winners,
6 wet races,
5 massive spins.
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving,
and a last corner championship win.
On the 10th day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 10 cubic of love, 9 drums from Turkey,
8 points positions,
7 different winners,
6 wet races,
5 massive spins. Christine's just cracked up. Please do 4. She's lost it, please.
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving, and
the last corner championship win.
You're right.
On the 11th day of F1 Christmas, Bernie sent to me 11 points for Romans, 10 fastest laps for Kimi, 9 drums from Turkey,
8 points positions,
7 different winners,
6 wet races,
5 massive spins,
4 Hydeville podiums,
3 maiden winners,
2 teams are leaving,
and a last corner championship win.
On the 12th day of F1 Christmas, Bernie said to me, 12 years of gridwalks,
11 points for Ravens. Thank you. That's luck.
9 drums from Dickie. 8 points positions.
7 different winners.
6 wet races.
5 massive spins.
4 Hydefield podiums.
3 maiden winners.
2 teams are leaving. And for the last time.
And the last quarter championship win.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't expect it to be that much fun. I'll tell you
hey,
so
take
much.
2 then.
Guys, you are brilliant. You're just brilliant. There's just no other word.
Hey, and on that note, you have to say the guys from Side Podcast here done a fantastic job all year. And Merry Christmas to them, because what a great service they've given us all this year.
Just before we go, guys, I just want to say to everybody on the comments and to you and Christine, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic year, and it's been great to be a part of the Side Podcast. And I hope for 2009 we all get even better and go even further.
Hear, hear.
So this is the last live show of 2008.
Yeah. There's going to be more, though, isn't
there? Hasn't it been mega?
There's no real way of describing it in words. I don't think I have the vocabulary to sum it up.
It's been the best year ever.
We've had.
I honestly don't think any other year will be as good as this one.
No.
But we're going to keep trying.
Absolutely. Side Podcast has had the best year of all time. F1 was the best year of any period on recollection.
Although some people will argue that fact.
No.
Forever.
No, it's...
They will.
It was a great season. We've been spoiled. We've been spoiled on every front. I have no idea how next year's going to stack up. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be as good. I don't think anything can be as good. I've loved every single minute of this. It's been brilliant.
We do have a couple of specials coming up, like I said earlier, and we'll be working hard over the holidays to spruce up the website and such like. Everything in Formula One is changing next year.
Yes.
But we will be back.
We'll be staying the same. We're going to be back for Autosport. It's going to be the first thing on our calendar, followed swiftly by bloggers karting, which hopefully we can take part in. It's going to be non-stop pretty much from the beginning of January. We're going to be here. We have to thank every single person who's left us a comment this year. Everybody who's tuned in, everybody who's listened. It's been beyond belief in so many ways, and we can just only say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.